right, good singing all the way around. Let me see, I've got this button turned on here, and we'll be ready and raring to go. This is a good crowd here we've got. We bless the Lord for how good He's been, that good singing. Man, just what a blessing that is to hear these songs of Zion from on high. And so, all right, we ready to go? Yeah, thank you. All right, take your Bible, if you will, please. We're going to be looking in the book of Psalm, chapter number 73 in the book of Psalm. Psalm chapter number 73. In the lesson that we're looking at, if you find the place you're able to stand, we're going to be reading there from let's start up with about verse number 23. All right, in Psalm 73, about verse number 23. The Bible says, "Nevertheless, I am continually with thee. Thou hast holden me by my right hand." And notice, "Thou hast taken hold me by my right hand. And thou shalt guide me with thy counsel, and afterward receive me to glory. Whom have I in heaven but thee? And there is none upon the earth that I desire beside thee. My flesh and my heart faileth, but God is the strength of my heart and my portion forever. For lo, they that are far from thee shall perish, and thou hast destroyed all of them that go whoring from thee." But our text verse is right here, verse 28. "But it is good for me to draw near to God. I have put my trust in the Lord God, that I may declare all thy works." Now, Father, bless your word to every heart. We do thank you, Lord, how good it is to be in the house of God. We praise you, and we thank you that thou art God. Beside thee, there's none else. Save the lost, we pray thee. Lift up the downhearted. Set the captives free. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Thank you, and be seated. I do want to say that while that we get into this lesson that's here, that I appreciate having Brother Darrell to be able to fill in and jump in a pinch and to be able to help me along, and you ought to be thankful for him. I guarantee you right now he's first rate all the way around. I told Brother Dawson whenever he said, "Are you back preaching yet?" And I told him, "Yeah," on Sunday morning, Wednesday night, and I told him about Brother Darrell. And I said, he's got the fire and the touch and this and that. And bragged on him, and he said, "Brother Lewis, anybody been in the ministry as long as you have speaks that well of a man, it says a lot for him." Amen. I got to tell you right now, there's a lot to be said. I hope you will not take that for granted. In this lesson that we're looking at, I want to preach a little while on taking hold of the right hand of God. Have you done that? Have you taken hold of the right hand of God? If not, you're not saved. If you are saved, you've taken hold of the right hand of God. You believe what he said. You trusted in the Lord, and you've received him in the free pardon of sin. Now, I can tell you how you can tell if you know him or not, because you declare his works to other people round about. I mean, you may not just have the gift of gab and every time, but every time you're around somebody, whether they're pumping gas, checking out groceries, or whatever you're doing, you're wondering in your mind sometime, I wonder if they know the Lord and the free pardon of sin. In the Bible, that's what we're looking at. Let me tell you something. A child of God declares the works of God. We were talking about that the other night for Thanksgiving, how that we were thankful unto God for all that he's done. We were thankful unto God that we might declare what he's done for us. You know, every now and again, you just need to stop along the way of life and tell people how good God has been to you. I snatched you as a brand from the burning. I saved you and put your feet on the solid rock. You know, in the day and hour we're living in, the devil wants to try to discourage you if you possibly can. I'm going to be preaching, and somehow or another I'll get to it. Number one is, he's our God. I'm glad to know that he's the same Jesus that came, that he's coming back again. Then not only that, but he's our gift. And let me say to you that you can't earn anything from God. Not only that, he's our God. He'll lead and guide and direct you in the right path. And not only that, but he's our goodness. Now, we hope to cover some of those bases in this lesson that we're looking at here this morning. I want to tell you something. If you're saved, you're a new creature in Christ Jesus. That Bible said, don't turn there, 2 Corinthians chapter 5, 17, "Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. All things have passed away, and behold, all things have become new." If you're a child of God, you've been born again, not by corruptible seed, but incorruptible by the blessed word of God. I want to say that every child of God declares the work of God. It's just because he's in you. You can't help but tell him. I can tell you right now, he's in your heart if you're born again. And let me say to you, the Bible said that out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh. If he lives on the inside of you, you can't help but talk about him. You can't help but tell about him. You can't help but be burdened for your family that's lost without God. And you know, all the time, here's what I say. Do you know somebody that's lost, that's going to hell when they die, if they die in the condition they're in? Do you know anybody like that? And if you say no, it's you. You see, you're that lost. Only a saved person can be awakened to know that I've got some kinfolks that are going to bust hell wide open if they die in the condition they're in. They may be religious, but it doesn't make any difference about that. God will not regard them. You'll find not every man that saith unto me, not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter in, but he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven. I got to say to you, when you begin to look into this lesson. Now, you know, here's a guy that's the psalmist Asaph. There's about 11 of them that bear that title. And let me say to you, he's one of the chief musicians and was considered a seer back in the days of David and Solomon. And you'll find out that here was a man that exalted and magnified the name of the Lord. Now, the psalmist, he got to being honest and telling us this. He said in verse number 1, it's good for Israel. He said, God is good to Israel, even to such a bit of a clean heart. Now, I'm going to tell you, is that if you're not careful, you go to seeing how good God is to everybody else, and you'll lose sight of how good God is to you. Now, I don't care where you were brought from, where God brought you from. We were all hell-bent and hell-bound, and God snatched us as a brand from the burning. But if you're not careful, there'll be a little thing that in verse number 3 he mentioned called envy. He said, I was envious at the foolish. They was making a lot of money. He didn't have a lot. They were doing well. He didn't seem to be. I got to tell you what ended up happening was, he said, I noticed that those that died that were prosperous in the world that we lived in, they had no bands in their death. Well, let me tell you, honey, they got no Bible either. And they've got no new birth either. And as a result of that, one of these days, they're going to drop off into hell because they have no blessing that comes from God. I want to say that when you begin to look into this, and the fact is, I want you to notice in verse number 8 what he said about them. This Bible said they were full of pride in verse 6. In verse number 8, they're corrupt. They speak wickedly concerning oppression. They speak loftily. Look at that. They set their mouth against the heavens, and their tongue walketh through the earth. You talk about people that are blasphemous. Even though they've been prosperous, they're blasphemous against God. Now, I've told you, I make no mistake about it, make no secret about it. Every now and again, I like to watch a stand-up comic. And let me tell you, there are some of them out there that are not worth listening to. Some of them are just not naturally funny. You ever notice that? I mean, I've heard preachers, you know, that just didn't have the divine touch of God on them. I've heard comedians that just did not have what it took, and they were trying too hard. One of my favorite comedians, he's dead in hell now. And his name was George, I guess, D-E-N-I-S. Maybe that's the way they spelled it, Dennis Patrick Carlin, George Carlin. And let me tell you right now, he is, make no mistake about it, he wasn't no dummy. He was born over in Manhattan, New York, 1937. He died June the 27th, 2008, at the age of 71, in Santa Monica, California. Did you know he had an IQ of 165? That's a genius category. He was one of the most blasphemous people. Whenever he wasn't just wanting to be funny, he said something about, you know, the biggest BS is Christianity. Now, he's changed on it now, I can tell you. I said all that so you know, he's one of these that are wicked, speaks loftily, that walks to the earth, a blasphemer against God. Give you an idea of some of his better material here, is that one of them there was like this here. He talked about this woman. She went to a place. She was in a motel at a high rise, and she went to one of these resorts. Well, they had to try to track her down. And when they finally tracked her down, the guy knocked on, rung the doorbell at the motel or in the hotel or wherever she was, and said, ma'am, I have a telegram for you. She said, oh, my word, a singing telegram. I've waited all my life to hear a singing telegram. I want a singing telegram. Thank you so much, sir, for me. He said, hold it, ma'am. This is not a singing telegram. This is an everyday, just old, plain, talk-it-out telegram. I'm not a singer. This is not a singing telegram place. And she said, you don't understand. I'm not going to live many more years. And I've spent my life wishing that I could get a singing telegram. And she just kept on and on and on. He said, all right, you asked for it. Here it is. Dun-dun-dun-dun-dun. Your sister Rose is dead. They said they found her lying in her bed. An overdose of sleeping pills, they said. Anyway, she's dead. The funeral will be at 2, 'cause your sister Rose is dead. Now, that was hilarious the first time I ever heard it. Now, it wouldn't have been so hilarious if my sister Rose had just died or something like that. But that's just the kind. Let me tell you right now, you talk about an old boy in politics and this and that, but he died a God-cussing heathen, a blasphemer against God. And the psalmist said, I've noticed people that were prosperous. You know, he was worth $10 million when he died. $10 million. That ain't nothing for somebody that's a big entertainer, but I guarantee you right now, it's a whole lot more than you and I or many of us will ever be able to see. Now, in this lesson that we're looking at, let me say to you, make no mistake about it, is that the psalmist said, I notice they're corrupt and they're wicked and they're prosperous and they're full of pride and all that business there. And it seems like that somehow or another, though they set their mouth against heaven and their tongue walks down through the earth, I got to tell you, make no mistake about it, is that here's a crowd that somehow or another is just a blasphemer against the things of God. And as a result, he felt like, in verse 13, verily I've cleansed my hands in I've washed my hands in innocency. I cleansed my heart in vain and washed my hands in innocency. In other words, it was like, they're doing so much better. It had been better if I hadn't even got saved. That's the kind of thing it would do. That's what envy will do for you. You'll go to looking at you. Some of you have got kin folks that will do better than you. Some of you have got kin folks that won't never do better than you, but you've got kin folks. And you're thinking, my word, they've got more than the heart could desire. That's what he said. They've got it more than they'll ever be able to need and so forth and on and on and on. I want to say number one is the psalmist got all his eyes upon the world and got his eyes off of God. Here's a man that the Bible said that he got to realize it and knowing that, hey, he is our God. When you and I talk about God, we're talking about this same Jesus is coming back again. We're talking about the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, and beside him there is none else. In fact, is you're going to find out over there in the book of Isaiah in chapter 44, and you don't want to turn there, but in chapter 44, verse number 6 and verse number 8, you'll find he says, I'm the Lord thy God, and beside thee there is none else. Now, that's the reason why I know the Mormon church is a liar. They believe in many gods, and there is but one God, and there's not another. He said, I know not of any whatsoever. There's no other God besides me. You better not lose sight of him this morning, of how good he's been, what he's done, what he's provided, what he's done for others. See that. Begin to look at that. But I'll tell you, don't lose sight while you're looking at what God's done for others and lose sight of what God's done for you. I can tell you right now is that make no mistake about it, is that he's the same yesterday, today, and forever. And I don't want to lose sight. I don't want envy, verse 3, pride, verse 6. I don't want any of that to cause me to lose sight of the fact that he's God, and besides him there is none else, and that God's been good to me. I want you to look, if you will, please, in Proverbs in chapter 14. Now, don't lose your text. We're not done with it. But in Proverbs in chapter number 14, this Bible said that when you look at about verse number 30 in the book of Proverbs, chapter number 14, watch what he said. A sound heart is the life of the flesh, but envy the rottenness of the bones. Now, I'll tell you what envy does. You're going to get in your eyes upon too many people in the world and want what they've got and where they're going and what they're doing. You're going to do that right there and go to getting envious of them. It'll rot you out from the inside out, friend. See that? This Bible said that when you begin to look into it, that the psalmist noticed that. He said, I notice when they die, they've got no bands in their dead. I remind you again, they've got no Bible either, and they've got no blessing that comes from God. Number one, not only is he our God, but number two is that there's the house of God mentioned in verse 17. He says, when verse number 16, I thought it was too painful for me until I went unto the sanctuary of God and understood therein. Now, here's what we're looking at, down at the house of God. You know the reason why we are together like this, why God knows that? You know the reason why that God has given us 6 days to do all of our work and all of our labor, and the seventh day that we might be able to rest, because it was made for man. We wasn't made for it. It was made for us. And let me tell you what it ends up doing and what it shows us is that if you're not careful, you'll lose sight of who God is and what God has done, how good God's been to you. I've got people and kin folks that claim to know the Lord, and you knock on the door this morning, they'd come and say, "Hey, how you doing? How come you ain't in church?" "Oh, well, we just didn't feel like it this morning." What about last week and the week before and the week before that? I want to tell you something right now. Make no mistake, you're talking about people that have lost sight of who and what God was, if they ever knew Him, if they ever knew Him. But I'll say to you that whenever you begin to look into this Bible lesson, you'll find that down at the house of God, it'll keep you reminded. I can promise you right now, the service you miss is the one you'll end up needing the most down the road. You won't know what it said, why it said, where it said, but the very thing you'll come up in life. See, in this Bible lesson you're looking at, let me tell you something. I'm glad to know that the house of God, the Bible says, is the gate to heaven. Not only is He putting us in the house of God, listen, He knows where we're headed. He knows where the wicked are headed. And let me tell you what He does is that you'll find that He wants to keep us reminded of how good that He's been. Number three, I mentioned that there's a gift here, and that is the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And let me tell you what He says there over in 2 Corinthians 9:15. Thanks be unto God for His unspeakable gift. In 1 Peter chapter 1 and verse number 8, He said it's joy unspeakable and full of glory, knowing the half has not yet been told. I want to say to you that, if you will, that our Lord and our Savior, He is the gift that lives on the inside of you. You couldn't earn it. You couldn't deserve it. Listen, it's unmerited favor. It's by the grace of God that we are what we are. And then number four, I want to say to you that you'll find that He's our God. Now look in verse 24 again. This Bible said, God's holding me up with His right hand. Thou shalt guide me with Thy counsel, and afterward receive me into glory. You know, it's not guesswork, is it? I'm glad I didn't guess about what to do with God. I'm glad that He's my guide. He'll lead and guide and direct me into all the truth. Thy word is the truth. And let me tell you something. He guided me to the Savior. He guided me to the house of God, the sanctuary. He'll guide me unto heaven one of these days. And after He's done with what He's going to do, this Bible said that He'll take me on and receive me to glory. Now, whom have I in heaven but Thee? Now, look in verse number 25. Whom have I in heaven but Thee? And there's none upon the earth that I desire beside Thee. I can tell you this. I've known people. Who's the first person you're going to want to see? Well, there's going to be some people. They're going to want to see one of their loved ones or family or this and that. And I'm looking forward to that great reunion day. But who have I in heaven except Him? Let me tell you, He is the way, the truth, and the life. And besides Him, there is none else. Make no mistake about it. God saved my soul as He did your soul if you're saved. If not, I hope He does. I hope you'll receive Him. It's because if you're not saved, you hadn't taken hold of His right hand of deliverance. In this Bible lesson we're looking at, God said that one of these days He's going to receive us. Look in verse 25 again. Whom have I in heaven but Thee? And there's none upon the earth that I desire beside Thee. Verse 24, Thou shalt guide me with Thy counsel, and afterward receive me to glory. You know, since the day I got saved, since the day you got saved, God's been leading us and guiding us and directing us. We're not having a guess at it. God's guiding us in every step of the way, and one day He'll receive us into glory. Last but not least, let me say to you, the goodness of God is mentioned here in this lesson. You know, the Bible said it's the goodness of God that leads thee to repentance. The goodness of God. You ever notice that sometimes tragedy comes in a very awful way, but it never brings repentance and faith? You know what it is? It's the goodness of God. When you see yourself hell-bent, hell-bound, hell-deserved, and God loving you in spite of that, that's the goodness of God. And let me tell you something. He's led us to a place of repentance. And let me tell you, the psalmist said, it's good for me to draw near unto God. I'm glad to know that I'm His and that He's mine. Look in verse 27. For lo, they that are far from Thee shall perish. Thou hast destroyed all of them that go whoring from Thee. Now, here's a guy that we've read and gave a little bit of his history and a little bit of his funny about. And let me tell you what, he spent his life going whoring away from God. But if you're a child of God here this morning, then I'll tell you what he said, verse 28, but it's good for me. Now, notice the contrast. You're either going to go whoring after the world, or either you're going to stop and realize and know how good God has been. For he said, to draw me near unto God, that I may put my trust in the Lord, and that I may declare all thy works. I don't know about you, but I want to ask you this in closing here this morning. Are you holding, have you taken hold of the right hand of God? Well, that's the right hand. Amen. Have you taken hold of God's right hand in deliverance and being born again? Then you're headed the right direction. And let me tell you, if you've got the right direction you're headed in, you've got the right message that you're living with your lip as well as with your life. Don't you get tired every now and again? Somebody will, it's not so much anymore, but used to years ago, we'd have a little bit of testimonial time. And we do that every now and again. We're not against that. It's always good to be able to look out and to be able to know kind of who you got. Because if you're not careful, used 2 years ago, there'd be somebody drop in, hadn't been to church in 20 years. And you say, well, let's have a word of testimony tonight. And they'd look around, you know. Well, preacher, I don't guess nobody else is. I'd just like to say the Lord has been, the devil's been on my back. Yeah, for a year and a half, I ain't seen you. You know that person too, don't you? Somebody walked up to me and said, How come that old heifer, every time she hears, she tries to give a testimony? I said, because you didn't. I asked, has anybody got a testimony for the Lord? I said, I seen her looking around at everybody. And everybody else acted like they had the lockjaw. Instead of just jumping to the task and saying, but it's good that God's been good to me and drawn me into himself and I've got him by his right hand. It's good. I won't tell you how good God's been to me. See? But I mean, I'm just like you every now and again. Don't wake me up to give a testimony. I needed to sleep. You know what the problem is in the average Baptist church? Sunday gets in our way too much. I mean, really. Do you know what the Bible said? We said last week, remember the Sabbath to keep it holy. But we don't. We spend Sunday afternoons and the Sunday evenings after church trying to grab for all the gusto we can get. You think God cares about that? I know I certainly don't. But do you think God does? He said, you're not to let your ox, your ass, your maidservant, manservant, or your own children. That's something, isn't it? But if we're not careful, we know more than he does. And then we wonder why that we've got leaders over us that hate our guts. Because we've not kept the Sabbath holy and we've not honored the day of God. And I realize, no, we're not under the law and all that business there. So don't go to cussing me and fussing at me if you catch me Sunday evening at Walmart for a reason or something like that. Don't be pharisaical about it. But I try to make it a point not to go there. You know, sometimes you get caught. You know how your absent-minded wife is. No, mine's not. Mine's not. I don't want to swell in that fist up again on my eye. I want to tell you something right now. You and I have much to be grateful and to be thankful for. And you know what it is? I'm glad to know that I've taken hold of his right hand. And you know why, don't you? Because he's reached farther down than I could ever reach up and snatched me as a brand from the burning. I don't see people in here that got too much wrong with them because you look so much better than I do. But the question is not how do I see you, and it's not how you see each other. The question is how does God really see us? I'm glad he loved us in spite of who and what we are. Let's stand to our feet. Our heads are bowed. Our Father, we want to say thank you now for the goodness of God. Lord, I pray your blessings upon not only this service, but Lord, others that we've got tonight. We'll have visitors. We'll have people that will be coming. Our home folks will be back. We want to say thank you for all you've done and all you're doing. May you save the lost, lift up the downhearted, set the captives free. In Jesus' name we pray.